Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he, being dead, yet speaketh. Father, as we come to the second hour this morning, we are thankful for the things that we have enjoyed from the Scriptures in the first hour, and look forward now to this continued study in the great 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We understand the chapter as being uniquely organized under the banner of living and enduring faith. And likewise, we understand that we've come to the first illustration of such as brought to bear in the record of this Scripture, namely that young man Abel, taking our minds all the way back to Genesis and the first family on earth. Help us today as we seek to appropriate correctly our understanding of Abel's faith and something of Cain's faithlessness. For both are at play in the record of Scripture that is before us in this hour. Bless then your people as we think together. We pray in Jesus' name and for His blessed sake. Amen. Abel is the first illustrative portrait used to demonstrate the faith to which we are called in Christ Jesus. We have here a reference to the look of faith at worship. Abel illustrates worshiping faith. The fourth chapter of Genesis, verses 1 to 10, records the specific incident used here to illustrate the faith. Cain and Abel illustrate the truth of Hebrews 10:38 specifically. Look back, 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. Abel. But if any man draw back, Cain, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Abel illustrates righteous living by faith, invoking God's pleasure. Cain illustrates the person drawing back from God and thereby producing no pleasure for God. Now, the interesting thing about this verse of Scripture, and there's a lot that's interesting about it, to be sure, but one of the most interesting things is that Abel is clearly said to have done something while alive on the earth, and Abel is clearly said to be doing something still today, even though murdered. One of the things that strikes me upon reading this brief, succinct little testimony here of Abel is the fact that he did offer, verse 11, by faith Abel offered, past tense, at a point in time, he offered to God, and it was an excellent sacrifice, and God evoked witness or gave testimony to that sacrifice as being acceptable or pleasurable to God. And then it also says that while Abel did that, it goes on to say that by that he, being dead, yet speaketh. Abel, while murdered, has something to say. And you and I are asked, as it were, to think upon the reality of what it is that Abel would have to say to us. He did offer. He does speak. He did offer. He does speak. Abel's act and attitude at worship illustrates the genuine faith, that living and enduring faith, as was specifically referenced and communicated in Hebrews chapter 10. Our purpose is to stick to the spotlight that is placed upon Abel and not Cain per se this morning, although we'll mention both. But the illustrative antithesis, namely Cain, is nonetheless true. One of the things that strikes me about the marvelous thing that God does for this congregation is that so often God coordinates for us things that none of us actually plan to coordinate. For instance, there are only four places in the Bible where there is a brief referencing of the firstborn son of Adam and Eve, namely Cain. Four references to Cain in the Bible. And it's amazing to me that without trying, we, in just regular digestion of the Word of God as planned for public consumption at the First Baptist Church of Elto, will indeed cover in the next 2 weeks three of those four passages. And undoubtedly, when we note the reference in 1 John chapter 3 on Sunday night at Education Hour, we will undoubtedly pick up the Jude reference. So we will cover all the Bible has to say about Cain and the way of Cain, which is not a good way, but the way of Cain. We'll cover it all in the next 2 weeks, and I didn't plan that. I'm not smart enough to plan that. I don't know how to make everything jive to come together like that. But I tell you that God has done that for us, and you and I ought to note it and thank Him for it and pay attention to it. And we certainly will begin some of that right here this morning as we have clear reference on the positive side concerning worshiping Abel, and thereby we'll take into consideration the other side as it relates to Cain. Now, if you study the Old Testament record of Cain, you will find him as an illustration of false religion and worship. He tries to come to God in his own way. False religion is coming to God in any other way than the one way that God himself has communicated. Let's take into consideration this morning the Old Testament record in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, I'm just going to read verses 1 to 10 with just a very, very few brief comments along the way. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. The best understanding of the meaning of the name Cain would be a man possessed, or the possession of a man, or I got the man, if you will. He was named, I got the man. Or we might say it, you the man. Cain, you the man. There he is. I have gotten a man from the Lord. That sounds rather pious, like Adam and Eve were saying, oh, we've been blessed with a baby boy. But actually, the phraseology is really quite negative in its rendering. Once you understand what's being said, Adam and Eve are saying that they have now received the promise of God of Genesis 3:15. That they have now gotten the seed promise of Genesis 3:15 in their own human cradle. Cain was raised with the thought that he be the Messiah. It did him no good. And she bare his brother. And she bore his brother. And she bore his brother. It means poof of air. It can mean bubbles of soap. You see, when your first kid is Messiah, your second kid is soap bubbles. And she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, let me just say that the law has not been given yet under Moses, but under the law, such an offering as that would be acceptable. But it would be acceptable as an offering of consecration and dedication to the Lord. Once a person under the law had given their sin offering, once a person had dealt with their sinfulness before God, then a person could bring their grain and fruit offering as a matter of thanksgiving to the Lord, consecration to the Lord, dedication to the Lord. And there's no such vernacular associated with this offering here, but there's nothing about that statement in verse 3 that would cause us any suspicion of Cain's offering, at least as we begin to read of it. Verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And when we read those words, we would say, oh, okay. Under the law, bringing the firstborn sheep of the flock for offering under the law would have been that which was required for a peace offering or a sin offering, dealing before God with one's sins. And it says then in verse 4, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very angry or wroth, and his countenance, Hebrew word is simply face, his face fell. He started pouting. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, if you do what's good, if you do as you know to do, shalt thou not be accepted? If you do right, if you do what I've communicated to you to do, if you are obeying me in your worship, will you not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Now God knew that Abel was dead. But God still asked Cain where his brother was. Cain now has opportunity to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help him God. Cain said, I know not. What's that? That's a lie. Now, lying to anybody is a bad thing, but lying to God is a stupid thing. Because lying to other people, they might not know the truth. But when you lie to God, it's really stupid because he knows the truth already. And Cain literally says to God, I don't know where he is. You're the one that killed him. You don't know where you left the body? But then even worse than I know not, that's a lie. I know not, that's a lie. I know not, that's a lie. Is the philosophy revealed in Cain's heart by the words of the world's first human question. Now, in chapter 3 of Genesis, God asked questions to Adam and Eve to expose their sin and their trouble. But here, God asked Cain of Abel and Cain lies, and then after lying, he really tips the philosophy of his heart by saying, "Am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for him? Do I have anything to do with him? Am I not my own man before you? I stand as I stand on my own two feet. My concern is not my brother." There's a lot in that first question from the lips of humanity. And he said, God saying, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." All right, back to Hebrews 11 and verse 4. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he," Abel, "obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Abel did offer, and he does speak." And one of the things that Abel talks about from the dead, as it were, has to do with living and enduring faith. Or we might call it genuine faith. And if we take the case of Abel, and we take the idea that he's still speaking of a life lived as he lived it, well, then we can say, number one, that genuine faith is founded upon hearing God's revelation. Abel heard God's revelation, and Cain heard it with his ears, but he did not hear it. But Abel heard God's revelation. Hearing in the Bible is more than hearing. It's more than just the audible reality of sound. There are some in the congregation who have been rightly fitted with hearing aids. And one of the benefits of such is that you hear better in the sense that you usually still, when your hearing starts to go, you're still hearing sounds. But you can't make out what the words are. You can't be clear about them. You hear something, but you don't hear clarity of words. And if you don't hear clarity of words, you don't want to say, "Uh-huh," unless you don't know exactly what you're agreeing to. And so the idea of hearing but not hearing is commonly illustrated even among us all. But in the Bible, many people heard God's words in the sense that they heard the words, the actual words that were said. And in this case, Adam and Eve, as the parents, and Cain and Abel, as the sons, actually heard God speak for himself. They heard God's audible voice speak to them. You know, in this passage, God's asked Cain a question, and Cain doesn't freak, say, "I never heard a voice like that out of heaven." No, he'd heard from God before. So hearing the words of God is not in the Bible allowed for our understanding to be understood as hearing the words of God. Or there's more to hearing than hearing. Hearing has to do with obedience. Has to do with attentiveness. It has to do with endurance. Genuine faith is founded upon hearing God's revelation. Abel's sacrifice was in fact better than Cain's sacrifice. Why? The answer is found in comparing what we read in Genesis 4 with what we have here in Hebrews chapter 11. Both men knew where to sacrifice. Both men knew when to sacrifice. The implication is they knew what to do and they knew when to do it. And the implication is they both knew how. And the question that we would ask is, how in the world did they gain that information? And the answer is, they got that information from their parents. Adam and Eve would have told the next generation on the earth of their former sinlessness and of their sinfulness and the provision of God along with the promise of God. Adam and Eve would have told their family their own family story. Since faith comes by hearing, Cain and Abel must have heard God's requirement for regular sacrifice at a specific time and place. How much of this came directly from God, and how much came from God through Adam and Eve, we do not know. We do know that when God speaks to Cain directly, that Cain does not appear to be overly startled, I should say, that God was speaking to him, but by what God was speaking to him. God said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? The question implies God has communicated formerly of what well sacrificing would mean. It's ironic that the word well in Genesis 4:7 means that which is pleasing. God said to Cain, you, young man, know what pleases me. If you do what pleases me, then you know you'll be accepted. And oh, how much mercy and grace there is in God. For when Cain did it wrong, God did not zap him, but rather God talked to him, giving him opportunity to repent of his sin and get it right. Cain, you know what pleases me. Do that, and my acceptance is guaranteed. Now, there are things in the Bible that you read and all the commentaries talk about, and you read it one way and you see it one way, and then you read it another way and you see it another way, and it kind of goes back and forth over a lifetime. And if you're not careful, you'll be constantly changing your opinion. You'll teach it one way and you'll teach another way, and it'll go this way and it'll go that way. And I have found that most of the time, when there is something of common controversy where people kind of say this and then people kind of say that, that usually where it ends up is right here. It's all right here. It's always been right here. It's just right here. So let me just identify the components here. You probably already know that there is a camp that says that Cain brought the wrong sacrifice, that the sacrifice that should have been brought was a sacrificial lamb, a peace offering, as it were, under the law for sin, and that Cain is understood as bringing the wrong sacrifice in that he brought his fruit and vegetables. And yet, then, the argument is made that under the law, there is an appropriate sacrifice of fruit and vegetables that is purely acceptable. But I would note that that which is acceptable under the law is an offering for consecration, an offering of dedication. So think of it this way. Cain comes at the right time to the right place, as he's been instructed by his parents and maybe directly by God himself. And he brings an offering of dedication. Okay, what's his heart like? Does he have a dedicated heart? Does he have faith in God? Is he bringing what he's bringing because of the fact that he recognizes himself to be dependent upon God as a sinful person? Abel, on the other hand, brings the firstborn of the flock, and there is a sacrificial offering of blood. We know that bloody offerings dealt with sin. We know that fruit and vegetable offerings dealt with consecration and dedication. So, can we say that he just brought the wrong offering? I don't think so. Why? Because clearly the Bible puts the stress point upon the heart in response of Abel, in contrast to the heart and response of faith of Cain. If Cain had brought a lamb, which some would view to be the better offering in light of Cain's own sin, if he had brought that, still wouldn't have been acceptable. Why? Because his heart's not in it. And when you take the account of Genesis 4, and then you see that the Spirit of God, in the Word of God, takes the way of Cain, the philosophy of Cain in all of life, and makes it a precursor to all false religion, you can then project legitimately that Cain brings what he brings because his attitude is, this is good enough for God. I'm not going to do anything other than just bring what I got. I'll give it to God because that's the God thing. And I sure don't want to make God mad. So I'll give God his thing. Cain's heart attitude, his lacking faith in God, his lacking obedience in God is what separates him from his brother. Cain heard the word of God, neither trusted in it, nor sought to obey it. Abel heard the same word and exercised faith in that which God had said. Paul would later write in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Abel had heard the word of God. And I do believe in some instances from God himself in audible voice. But Abel had also heard the word of God as faithfully communicated from Adam and Eve. And as hearing the word of God, truly hearing the word of God, there was faith in Abel concerning that word of God. In contrast, there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that Cain ever heard the word of God, though he certainly heard the audible voice of God, at least at some occasion, as he did in the record of Genesis 4. And we also know that he was faithfully given the word of God from his parents, Adam and Eve. And yet there is no evidence of faith, quite the contrary. Even when he is confronted by God concerning his wickedness, he lies. And then after he lies, he makes another statement of self-assertiveness and self-righteousness, as if, God, if I'm not good enough for you as I am, well then, who would care? He does not have faith. He is not marked by obedience. Genuine faith is that which is built upon hearing God's word, hearing God's revelation. Secondly, genuine faith is exercised by trusting God and being obedient to that which he has said. Abel offered that which his faith in the word of God demanded. Abel's faith was both substance and evidence. It was inward assurance or condition along with outward conviction and demonstration of obedience. He was trusting and he was obeying. He was living or walking according to his faith. He was enduring in faith. In fact, as we know in the next number of verses at verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Abel brought to God that which God asked for to be brought to the place where God had specified at the time God specified it. Cain, apparently like many religious folks, is not in denial that God exists. He even apparently honors the instruction of God designated as the time and place. He just wants to do God his own way. And therefore, the Bible coins a phrase in the New Testament, and the phrase is the way of Cain. The way of Cain, Jude. The way of Cain in the context of 1 John. Hebrews 11 introduces us to this thought of the way of Cain, a way of self-assertion, bootstrap religion. I'll get her done. I can do it. It's Bob the Builder stuff, if you know who he is. Worship, as pleases God, is worship that flows out of a heart marked by spirit, correct attitude, and truth. So between these two brothers, you have faith and falsity. And it is dynamically illustrated. And Hebrews 11 confirms that the real contrast between the two brothers is not in the type of offering that they brought necessarily, but the real contrast has to do with the heart condition. The condition of their heart. Thirdly, genuine faith is the only means by which a person can be declared righteous or pleasing to God. As a result of the better sacrifice that Abel brought, a testimony is raised that he is righteous. He obtained, is the Bible word, a testimony of righteousness. Where did he get that testimony from? He got it from God. It is God that testified of Abel's heart, righteous heart by faith. The testimony of righteousness is evident, the substance of his faith is evident in the external act of sacrifice. But he obtained righteousness by faith in that which God had said. Abel didn't just believe in God. Abel believed God. Cain believed in God. Cain did not believe God. By faith, Abel pleased God. Abel teaches us that to claim to have faith and then continually disregard God's word is foolishness. James said it, faith without evidence, faith without works is dead. Now, many scholars note that Abel would have immediately known his sacrifice was acceptable in that it was likely consumed in the same way that offerings were consumed at the initiation of the tabernacle. What did I just say? I just said that it is likely that in the Old Testament era, before the law, that when an Old Testament saint like Abel would have given their sacrifice to the Lord with the right heart attitude, and there is the evidence of the substance of faith within, that the sacrifice given would have been consumed by fire in real time, in a physical way, so that Abel would have immediately known that his sacrifice was pleasing. And of course, in contrast, to Abel, yes, would be Cain, no. And it's when Cain got a no from heaven that he got mad. What's he mad about? Well, that's what God asked him. And Cain started to pout. What's he pouting about? Well, that's what God asked him. And God furthermore said to Cain, if you do well, if you do it right, if you come to me in the pleasing way that I prescribed, you know it's going to go right. And if you don't do right, then guess what? We're talking about your sin. We're talking about sin being at the door of your heart. It's interesting because, and this astounds me, but the exact same word in Genesis 4, sin lieth at the door. The word sin is the exact same word in Leviticus translated sin offering. Your sin offering lieth at the door, would be that thought. Meaning, you haven't done it right. You're not trying to do it right. You're trying to do it in your own way. God does not allow us to do worship our own way, ever. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You finish the verse. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Those of you who are mature in the Scriptures, give you just another little thing to chew on. If fire from heaven confirmed the sacrifices of the righteous in the ancient era, then maybe there is something of connectedness that we should read into the reality of reference to the Holy Spirit of God coming upon the church with baptismal fire on the day of Pentecost. He confirms that we are the children of God in a way similar to the fire consuming the sacrifice of Abel. Abel did do something reportable. And according to the Scripture, Abel does do something now. He speaks. Playing off the portion of the ancient account in Genesis 4 concerning the fact that Abel's blood spoke, as it were, to God of Cain's sin. So even now, Abel's faith speaks to us of Abel's living and enduring faith. What does Abel's faith say? It says that man must come to God by faith in that which God has actually said. It says that man must accept and obey God's revelation as his own. It says that there is no other way to please God, to pray. And to pray apart from the clear ways in which the Scriptures demand of us to pray is not to pray at all. Just like to worship, apart from the way in which God has prescribed worship to take place, is not worship at all. Cain gave an offering, but he did not worship God. Cain did an external thing to make the family think that he was okay with God. But the incident reveals not okay at all. Abel's blood did speak to God about Cain's waywardness. And Abel's faith does speak to God about your life and mine before God this very day. And what does it say? Well, in the terms of Hebrews 10, the righteous shall live by faith. Living and enduring faith. We saw that principle of living and enduring faith in Abraham, Hebrews 6, 11 to 13. We saw the principle of living and enduring faith in Habakkuk, as quoted in chapter 10 of Hebrews, quoting Habakkuk 2, 1 to 4. And now we see the principle of living and enduring faith in Abel. We see worship that takes place to the pleasure of God, because that worship is predicated upon faith in that which God has actually said. May the Word of God dictate our worship. May the Word of God dictate our prayers. May the Word of God dictate our lives. May the Word of God be the Word of God in everything, all things, all life, in life and practice, the Word of God. Father, thank you this morning for a